Welcome to our service for the first Sunday of Christmas. This year is also New Year's Eve. We hope that you've had a joyful Christmas and will have a blessed and peaceful New Year. Our themes pick up the theme of the New Year, and we begin with, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way, sought us and saved us, pardoned and provided. Lord of the years, we bring our thanks today. So to our time of confession. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you, we have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect for the first Sunday of Christmas. Almighty God, who wonderfully created us in your own image, and yet more wonderfully restored us through your Son Jesus Christ, grant that as he came to share in our humanity, so we may share the life of his divinity, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading today is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The light of Christ has come into of Christ has come into the world. All men must be born again to see the kingdom of God. The water and the Spirit bring new life in God's love. God gave up his only Son out of love for the world, so that all those who believe in him will live forever.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As some of you know, one of the lovely things that's happened in Penbryn over the last couple of years is that we've formed a relationship with a local choir who come to sing in a Christmas event which is somewhere between a carol concert and a carol service. By and large, the choir master Alistair chooses the carols, and I frame the service into some kind of coherent whole. And when people ask me whether it's a concert or a service, I just say yes. It has a mixture of biblical readings and lighter material. But there's plenty of weighty Christian content, of course, just in the words from the carols. Historically, Christmas carols were designed as a means of teaching Christian doctrine in a largely non-literate era. So you can rely on pretty much any Christmas carol repertoire to impart a core of Christian truth. This year, though, I thought there was a slight imbalance in the first set of carols we'd chosen. I had to say to Alistair that the first draft of the repertoire was a bit too centred on Mary and not sufficiently centred on her child. It's actually a function of the age of the texts you choose as much as anything. The older the words are, the more likely it is that they will be focused on Mary, because any carol words from before the Reformation of the 16th century will of course be from the Roman Catholic tradition, with its very high place for the Blessed Virgin. Think, for example, of the last verse of the carol The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came. Of her, Emmanuel the Christ was born in Bethlehem all on a Christmas morn, and Christian folk throughout the world will ever say, O highly favoured lady, Gloria. Compare that sentiment with those of Mrs. Cecil Frances Alexander, Protestant wife of an Anglican bishop, some centuries later. And our eyes at last shall see him, through his own redeeming love, for that child, so dear and gentle, is our Lord in heaven above. Here, it is very definitely the child who is the centre, rather than his mother, who is the centre of the first carol I read. And broadly speaking, the two carols are typical of their respective times and traditions. The reverence in which Mary was universally held for the first 1500 years of the history of the Christian Church is very largely a post-biblical phenomenon. The nearest approach to it in our Bibles is that tantalising passage in the crucifixion narrative from John's Gospel, in which Mary is commended by Jesus into the care of the Apostle John. But the truth is that the Bible holds little trace of the veneration of Mary, which very quickly became part of Christian understanding. However, although this tradition is in essence post-biblical, there is a moment in today's Gospel reading which perhaps hints at why it became an authentic part of the Christian message. It sounds at first like an aside, a reference to a theme to which the author might return later, except that the author, in this case Luke, never really does. In the middle of Luke's extraordinary narrative about angels appearing in the sky and singing, and shepherds rushing into a stable, we have the single line, "But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart." And for a moment, the young mother becomes the still centre of the story, around whom all this commotion is whirling. Perhaps one way into thinking about it is to ask what Luke's source was for the story of the shepherds coming to manger. Really, the only possible answer is Mary herself. Joseph is long gone by the time Luke is working. How did Luke know that Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart? Well, perhaps because that's how the story came to be remembered in the first place. There is a hint here, just a trace, of the reverence in which Mary will come to be held. That reverence goes very deep into how we think about motherhood in the Christian Church, and indeed how we think about women in the West. The Bible is, of course, entirely honest about how hard it can be for a woman not to be able to bear a child. Biblical women like Sarai and Hannah know the pain of that bereavement, as well as the joy when the seemingly impossible finally becomes true, and they give birth to Isaac and Samuel respectively. And there is a searing honesty, too, about the fierce joy of Naomi, who had been so bitter in her bereavement, when Ruth puts the child Obed into her arms. It is the women of the community who understand it. We read, "The women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin.' And the women of the neighbourhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David." The veneration of Mary in the Christian church is as a representative not only of motherhood, but also of womanhood itself. Without her, the early Christian missionaries somehow knew that their message would seem incomplete to the pagan communities to whom they sought to minister, amongst whose deities the presence of goddesses like Artemis and Aphrodite had formerly represented the female principle. As Mary treasures and stores up all she is hearing about the child, perhaps Luke is somehow making the point that not any woman would have done, that there was a quality in Mary which made her, in some mysterious way, the right choice to be the bearer of the Christ child, perhaps the only choice. But just as her child in her lap is called the Son of Man, just as he is, in some sense, every man, so Mary, having borne him to the point of birth and now holding him to her bosom, stands for every woman. "For behold, from henceforth," she says, "all generations will call me blessed." Amen. Now for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad yr hynoeth yn yfoedd, sancteiddiad y enw, deled y dernas, gwneled y wyllus, megis yn y nef, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyron ni heddiw ein bar o beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddau o'n nina ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, Eithaf gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eitho ti o'r dernas a'r gathlu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Our God and Father, whose Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, was rich, yet became poor for our sake, to make us rich out of his poverty, By your grace, let our lives overflow in a wealth of general service to you and to our neighbour, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son shared at Nazareth the life of an earthly home, we pray for the children of Nazareth, Israel, and the whole of Palestine today, most especially the children of Gaza. We remember also the children of Ukraine, southern Sudan, and Yemen, and all those places where the innocent suffer, as they suffered with your Son. Bless and keep them. Shorten the time of their suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal Lord God, we give you thanks for bringing us through the changes of time to the beginning of another year. Forgive us the wrong we have done in the year that is past, and help us to spend our days to your honour and glory. Your mercies anew each returning day. Let the radiance of your Spirit renew our lives, warming our hearts and giving light to our minds, that we may pass the coming year in joyful obedience and firm faith. Grant us to have a good hope because of your word. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christmas blessing. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and for ever. Amen.